For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So we continue to talk about forgiveness and looking today about the importance of forgiving others. We have a scripture passage from Jesus during his time on the Sermon on the Mount, and it talks about the importance of forgiving others just as God forgives us. Let us pray first. Lord, I ask that you guide my words, that these words speak your truth and your will for us. Lord, we ask that we hear your words with open hearts and open minds, to reflect on the word and your message for us, so that we may be your faithful sons and daughters. We ask that our reflections be acceptable in your sight, for you are our Creator, our Redeemer, and our Sustainer. Amen. So this morning's passage does come from a series called the Sermon on the Mount. It's a series that many of us know about, found in Matthew, starting with chapter 5, going through chapter 6 and chapter 7. It includes the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus speaks to a crowd of thousands of people, and he talks about Christian morals and the importance of being faithful to God. It includes the Beatitudes that we know about, the blessed are the poor, blessed are the weak, etc., etc. It includes that great golden rule to be kind and love one another. It also includes a series of different topics concerning anger, concerning adultery, concerning oaths, concerning retaliation, concerning almsgiving, concerning fasting, concerning treasures, concerning self-deception. I encourage you, if you have time, to read Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7. It's a great sermon series given by Jesus. Jesus also, though, in his Sermon on the Mount, specifically in chapter 6, gives an instruction about how to pray. He tells the people that when you are praying in Matthew 6, starting with verse 7, when you are praying, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before to ask him. Pray then in this way, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Do not those words sound familiar? We know it now today as an important Lord's Prayer that we pray, sometimes Sundays during communion worship service or sometimes during special services as well. I invite you now, if you are able, to turn, I believe it's in your hymnal, page 270, or if you know it by heart, let us say together the Lord's Prayer, the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. We know this wonderful Lord's Prayer that Jesus taught us to pray. It is in our hearts, it is in our memory, and it's a prayer that we follow. But we need to understand that when we talk about praising God and recognizing his name in heaven and his kingdom that is to come, and we need to understand that when we ask God for our daily bread to feed us spiritually and to forgive us of our trespasses and deliver us from evil and the temptations of the world we face, and to recognize his kingdom and the power and the glory, we also need to remember that at the end of the scripture passage from Matthew 6, past verse 9 to 13, where the Lord's Prayer is found, there is more. There is verse 14 and 15, where Jesus doesn't end with teaching them just how to pray, but also ends with this lesson about forgiveness and how important it is to forgive others. The Lord's Prayer, we know, is a prayer of praise for God and his holiness. And if we truly want to say we praise God and recognize his holiness, then we must also follow Jesus' message about being able to forgive others. We know also that the Lord's Prayer is asking God to help us, a series of petitions to give us our daily bread, to help us resist temptation and deliver us from evil, to forgive our own trespasses. So if we want to ask God for these petitions, what do we give in return? Jesus is telling the people what they can give and what we can give in return to be able to forgive others as God forgives us. So when we look at this morning's passage, it's just two short verses, but it can say so much about the importance of forgiving others. When we can understand what it means to forgive others, then we can do three things. First, we can draw closer to God through forgiveness of our own sins, to recognize how He has forgiven our sins. Second, we can really learn to be responsible for our own actions, to understand we can never, ever control other people, but we must be responsible for our actions and our feelings and our thoughts, the things that we can control. And third, to heal us, to understand the importance of forgiving others is a way to heal our own selves spiritually after something wrong has happened to us. First, let us look at how we can draw closer to God through the forgiveness of our sins. We know that in Matthew 6, verse 14, the very first 14 verse says, "For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you." I invite you to think about a time when you know you have done wrong and what you did during that time. We want to think about God's love as being unconditional because, yes, it is. God's love is unconditional and available for all people who believe and follow Him. But then it sounds like a contradiction then to later learn that you cannot be forgiven unless you forgive others. There is then that condition. So you might then, what happened? You wonder what happens. Can this be frightening or confusing or disheartening to think about there is a condition placed on forgiveness? But Jesus wants us to know to not be frightened, to not be confused, to not be disheartened. Jesus is saying, first remember that you forgive others their trespasses because your heavenly Father has forgiven you. How great is that to know that Father God has forgiven you your trespasses? God knows what is truly on our hearts, and how do you think He knows that? He knows that because He created us. Just as a parent raises and gives birth to a child, don't you parents pretty much well know your child? I'm sure there's those teenage years that they might be starting or will start, and you might think, who is this child before me? I don't know this person. This is a stranger. But you know your child. You raised your child. You saw your child grow up, and God is like that. He created us all uniquely. He knows us. He shapes us. He forms us. He knows what is on our hearts, even when we try to stray from Him. So when we do wrong, because God knows we still love Him, He will forgive us our trespasses. So then we can be comforted and not scared or confused or disheartened, but to be comforted to know that our Heavenly Father will forgive us. And then we need to take the next step to be able to forgive others their trespasses. For Jesus, in His Sermon on the Mount, is telling the people a series of moral conditions, of qualities they must possess. To be poor in spirit because they will desire God more. To be hungry and thirsting for more than what they have had in their lives. To be able to follow certain rules regarding adultery, regarding almsgiving, regarding treasures, regarding offering and oaths and promises. He's giving them a series of moral compass, like you can, you know, how you would lead your life to follow that moral compass. So then when He was reminding us to forgive others our trespasses, we need to sort of like a compass, follow that route. Because forgiveness is a powerful thing, but we also know forgiveness is a very hard thing to give. There are many great stories of forgiveness, and I found two that I thought were very interesting. First was in 2006, I don't know if you remember, but in an Amish school in Pennsylvania, a gunman named Charles Roberts went into that school. And he held the students and the teachers there at the school. It was a small one-room school, hostage for many hours. And at the end of that time, he ended up shooting 10 of the students and also then killing himself. And of the 10 students he shot, 5 of them died from the gunshot wounds. But what did the families of these students and the other students who were in that school that day do? They did not wish evil upon Charles Roberts or his family. Instead, they actually surrounded his family with love and forgiveness. There were stories of the family visiting his wife to make sure she was okay because her husband had killed himself. There were stories of the families going to the parents of Charles Roberts. They were an older couple, and helping them around the house and doing chores and making sure they were okay. And even this great story of the many Amish families attending the small funeral service at Charles Roberts, saying, "We forgive you." They mourned for Charles Roberts and what was happening in his life to make him kill people and take his own life,
just as they mourned for their own innocent children who had lost their lives because of this man. This ultimate story of giving him their forgiveness. It's always a powerful thing then to know we can give another person forgiveness. So then when we know how powerful it is and how wonderful it is, why then don't we give forgiveness to people? What holds us back from saying to someone, yes, I forgive you, or I will forget the wrong you did, or I will wish well to you? What holds us back from doing that? Is it pride? Is it want to control? Is it the need to be justified or to be put back into the right place we were when we were wrong, weren't wronged before? What holds us back from giving someone forgiveness? There are many things that hold us back, but we cannot control those things. Yes, we might want the person to say, I am sorry, please give me forgiveness, but we can't control what they say or when they will say it. Yes, we might want someone who has wronged us to be just as wrong themselves or have something equally as bad happen to them, but we can't control that happening to them or what they decide to do in their own lives. But what we can control is ourselves and our own responsibility. So the second thing we need to learn about the importance of forgiving others is to be responsible for our own actions. To admit what part we might have played in a conflict we have with someone, or when we were wronged, or to admit that we, yes, have the power within ourselves to give love and forgiveness instead of hate and envy or retaliation. We want to be able to admit that there are own times when we have failed someone, when we have done wrong, and put ourselves in that position. Think about when you might have done something wrong to another person, or when you have hurt someone and you know you yourself have needed to ask for forgiveness. And then when you have received that forgiveness, what joy you might have felt. There's another great story about forgiveness. There's a tribe in South Africa called the Babima tribe. And this tribe, what they do is when someone does something wrong in the village, they put that accused person in the center of the village. And the whole tribe then surrounds that person. And the whole tribe, as they surround that person, instead of yelling curses at the person or telling the person what they did wrong or saying how that person should be punished, instead, it's a tribal council of affirmation. People around that circle take time, whether it's a woman, a man, or even a young child, they take time telling that person in the center actually how great they are. They share stories of how that person has helped them or a wonderful thing that that person does. And they say sometimes these tribal circles take hours because it's story after story after story about that a person in the center who has definitely done something wrong, but yet they're lifting that person up. And then that because of that, because they spend so much time telling that person great things that they did when they helped the person, when that person helped their family, when that person did something good for the village, when that person made a great decision, because they spend so much time sharing those stories that by the end, it becomes not a time of accusations, of hatred, of downbearing, but it instead becomes a time of jubilation and joy as they are actually celebrating that person. They understand that that person's fault and sin and wrongdoing is still there, but they are giving that person forgiveness in this unique way by lifting that person up because they know what they can give and are taking responsibility for their action. We want to then think about when we can take responsibility and how we can act when we are wronged, how we can offer a person forgiveness and show them God's love through our own actions. I know the very first time I think I truly learned about forgiveness and what it meant was a situation with my mother and my grandmother. Earlier, when I was younger, between kindergarten and first grade that summer, my family moved into our very first home, and I was so excited. We had lived up until then, the first 6 years of my life, in different apartments, about three or four even. And I remember then coming home from summer church camp, and all of a sudden my parents saying, we're moving in 3 weeks, and we bought a home, and how excited I was. The home meant, because I'd always begged my parents for a dog, and they would always say, oh no, we can't have a dog until we have a home in the backyard. So right there, I was like, I gotta have a dog. A home meant being in a better school district, and I really liked the new school that I went to in first grade. A home meant being able to invite friends over, because before we were usually in one or two bedroom apartments, and I couldn't really have friends overnight. A home meant so much, and it was so joyful to be in that home. And then fast forward years later, in middle school, my grandfather died. And when I say grandfather and grandmother, they're actually a German-American couple who were sponsors for my parents. And it's a long story of how my parents immigrated from Vietnam to the U.S. But I grew up with Grandma Mary and Grandpa Hap as Grandma and Grandpa. And when Grandpa Hap died, Grandma Mary changed. Her sadness, her loss of her spouse, loss of her love, I think changed her. And I didn't realize then, but it changed her so much that it was hard to be around her. And even in middle school, I would hate to say this, seeing her. We would go to see her after school, or we'd go to church together on Sundays, and she was always grouchy, always complaining, or saying my hair didn't look right, or my clothes weren't right, or what my grades were doing, or in church she saw when I was acolyting, I didn't hold the acolyte staff high enough. She just became mean in spirit, and was very hard to be around. But my mother always insisted in middle school that we still see my Grandma Mary, that we still had at least two meals a week with her, that we still visited her when she later went into hospice and convalescent homes, that we still took her to church on Sundays when we could. My mother insisted we do all these things. And then I found out later, after my Grandma Mary had died towards the end of my middle school years, that when my grandpa died, my Grandma Mary said to my mom, you have to pay back a big loan. Because when we moved to that house in first grade, it was something that my parents had to do at the last minute. The apartment they had been living in, the owner decided to sell that apartment building to another person, and my parents had less than 60 days to move out. So instead of moving into another apartment when I was in first grade, my parents chose to buy a home, and my Grandpa Hap and my Grandma Mary gave them a very large loan to put the down payment for that home. And that large down payment was then paid off over the years in monthly fees, but no interest. It's a very special gift in a way they gave to my parents. But when my grandfather died, my grandmother said to my mom, you need to pay back the loan more. And she demanded more money, and all this money that my parents had been saving for college and other things started going back to my grandmother. But my mom didn't hold that against my grandmother. She forgave my grandmother for acting like that, for maybe realizing that it wasn't my grandmother's true mean spirit that meant to do wrong, but it was my grandmother who was mourning for my grandfather. So even though my mom and especially my dad were very angry at my grandmother for all of a sudden needing to pay back a loan quicker and much more amounts, they still treated my grandmother as a loved one. They forgave her for her actions. I never knew the difference in the middle school until after my grandmother died, and I heard my parents arguing one day about paying the money back to other family members then instead. But it was a thing of forgiveness, and I think that's the first time I realized the power of forgiveness and how you act towards another person, how your actions can show love and forgiveness even when they are doing wrong to you. And I know, I apologize, it's a very long story, but I did want to share about my feeling of first realizing how powerful forgiveness was. And I'm sure each and every one of you has a story of forgiveness, whether when you've given forgiveness or when you receive forgiveness. And I want to encourage people to share their own stories of forgiveness later. Because when we can give forgiveness, to take responsibilities for our action, to draw closer to God, to know because God forgives us for our own wrongs, then we can heal ourselves. Because we know when we've been wrong, we've been hurt. Something wrong has been done to us, it hurts us. It makes us lose trust in another person. It makes us actually feel hate sometimes even towards the other person. But we never want to feel those things. And Jesus reminds the people in Matthew 6, verse 15 at the end, saying, your Father will not forgive your trespasses if you do not forgive other people. Forgiveness is our way then of helping ourselves, of healing ourselves. Lewis Smeds, an author, says forgiving is the only way to be fair to yourself. Would it be fair if a person hurts you once but you never offer forgiveness? Because then if you don't offer forgiveness, then you're giving that person the power to continue to hurt you, and you are continuing to hurt or hurt yourself. So when you give that person forgiveness, you're giving up that power they have of hurting you, and you are beginning to heal yourself. We know that there are many scripture passages that Jesus talks about forgiving people of sins, people who had such great faith in him that all they had to do was touch him and sins were forgiven. All they had to do was be near him and show their faith and sins were forgiven. And even in the other scripture passages after the Gospels, we know in Ephesians we were reminded to be kind to one another, to forgive as God in Christ forgave you. Or in Colossians chapter 3, verse 13, to bear with each other, forgive one another, just as the Father, the Lord, forgives you. All these wonderful stories of forgiveness, but we need to connect that idea to ourselves, how we are affected spiritually, mentally, and physically. Have you ever been in a fight with someone and thought, well, that person needs to say I'm sorry? And then what do you feel like when you're in that fight or later? Don't you feel ugly in a way? Don't you feel sad? I remember being in fights with my sister and often crying or not wanting to see her at the dinner table or wanting to do mean things back to her because I wasn't giving her love or forgiveness. Our own physical, spiritual, and mental selves are hurt when we can't forgive someone else. We need to let go of our anger, let go of our hate, let go of our pride or need for retaliation, and instead offer forgiveness to that person. Because when you let go of those things, and when you give forgiveness to that other person, then you can feel better spiritually. You can be uplifted. There is no room then for hate or wanting retaliation. Instead, there is more room for God. You can draw closer to God, to say to God, yes, God, I'm so thankful, and recognize the gift of forgiveness that you have given me through your Son, Jesus Christ, that I want to do so in return, to walk like Christ and truly be like Christ, to give forgiveness to others, to be able to be whole and healed ourselves, and to understand that God forgives us our trespasses and calls us to forgive the trespasses against others. And know, though, when you do forgive another person, there is no guarantee of how they will act. They may not recognize it, they may not say sorry, and you can never, ever control that. But what you can control is your receiving of forgiveness from God, your accepting of that and giving back, and your forgiveness that you give to others. Let us pray. Lord, we hear the words of your Son and the Lord's Prayer that he taught us to pray. To know also that the end of the prayer, your Son gave us this important lesson about forgiving others our trespasses, because you, Lord, forgive us. We also know that if we do not forgive others, that there is this time where you, Lord, will not forgive us as well. We seek then to be able to offer forgiveness to others, to open our hearts, to see the other person, to draw closer to you, God, through the forgiveness of our sins that we receive and to the forgiveness that we will to give to others. To be able to be mature Christians, to be responsible for our own actions, and to be able to understand how we can heal ourselves, to be spiritually, mentally, and physically well when we offer forgiveness to others. We pray all these things in your Son's name. Amen. Mm-hmm.